Okay, Rabosai. Simon Shin Ayin Vav. Let's start again from the beginning. The people paying the Shiva call cannot open their mouths till the Avel talks first. That's the general minhag. You sit there quietly and you wait for the Avel to talk. Obviously, there are exceptions. You have to use your common sense, but that's the general rule. The principle of this, the underlying principle of this is, I'll make two errors about underlying principles, one here and one a little later, or maybe I'll make it here now also. The point of Shiva is not, some people come when they be Shiva calls, it's called projection, whatever. They talk about what they would want to talk about if they were sitting Shiva, or maybe what they would want to talk about if they're paying a Shiva call, etc. But the whole point of this sensitivity to the Avel, you have to be holding where the Avel is. If the Avel doesn't really want to talk, then he doesn't really want to talk. If he wants to talk about something, then he wants to talk about something. But you should let the Avel open A, that way you see what he wants to, what he wants to do, and B, it's just a way of signaling to him that you're here to be sensitive to his needs and not to impose your perspective on him. In terms of, even though this is, you know, I guess as good a place as any, in terms of, you can share a table with someone at the other end. In terms of what you should do when you pay a Shiva call, when you go to pay a Shiva call, in general, we'll see later in the show, Ein Omrim Shmua Bebesa Avel, you don't talk Torah in Besa Avel, it should be a Kal Vachomer, that you don't talk Stam, Divrei, Chol, and Business, and Lashon Hara, etc. Besa Avel, it should be about Nicham Avelim, which means that, you know, when I go to pay a Shiva call, I like to talk about the Avelus. Like, for example, about Shevach of the Mace. So if I didn't know the Mace, I would say, you know, tell me something about your mother. You know, tell me a story about your mother. Tell me about your mother's life, etc. Not like, how old was she? Kilu, okay, well, it's okay she died because she was old enough, etc. But like, tell me something nice. You know, tell me stories. Tell me about her life. Tell me about her accomplishments, etc. You know, things like that that really are relevant. Bring Shevach to the Mace. What if the Avel wants to talk about the stock market or something like that? I've had a number of Shiva calls where I went and I wanted to talk about the Nifter, and the Avel wants to talk about politics, like shul politics, whatever it may be. So the nice, you know, I think that part of sensitivity to the Avel is that even if he's not holding it exactly where he should be, that, you know, we're trying to make him happy, sach hakol. So I would follow the Avel's lead in that also, you know, at least, you know, and, you know, unless I fast sense an opportunity to bring the conversation around to a better place. Anyway, let's continue. Oh, Mesa Barosh, Avel sits in front. Yeah. No, no, after the Avel opened, I mean. Sorry, after the Avel started talking, said, thank you for coming, etc. You know, I would follow his lead. And if I saw that he opened and he wants to have a conversation, he's not sure to talk about it, he's not sure if I'm interested. Sorry. Okay, thank you for that clarification.
Well, did he say that?
So you have to use your common sense. You have to use your common sense. Okay, the Avel Mesa Barosh, the Avel sits in front. The Avel is not responsible for saying the proper goodbye. He can't do Shalom Shalom. He might not do a proper goodbye. So if he nods his head in a way that he's ready for you to go, you should take the hint and go. Right? You shouldn't stay longer than you're wanted to in a Shiva call. Ain Avel Cholachayim Lamod Afil Bnei Nasi. Right? The Gemara says that an Avel or a Chola doesn't have to stand up, even in front of a Nasi, certainly in front of a rabbi, etc. Why does an Avel or Chola not have to stand up? There's a whole Chakira brought in the Gilyan Maharsha here. The Lavush says because they're too preoccupied. It's too hard for them to stand up because the Chola is sick and the Avel is sad. The Shvaz Yaakov says because there's no point standing up. Because just like you don't stand up in a bathroom, right? If your Rebbe goes to the bathroom, you don't stand up for him. Why? Because it's only a kima sheish behider. You only stand up if it's honorable. A chola standing or an avel standing does not give honor because a chola or an avel is not in an honorable place. And therefore, they're potter because it won't help. The interestingly, the Gilyan Maharsha makes an afkamina this chakira. Right? It's not in the Gilyan Maharsha here. Vishua Shvas Yaakov, because of the tanda in a kima shel hider. That's the second thing I said. And local of Bush, we should to Trudu. Right. Nafkamina is Tishabav. Right? Should you stand up for a Rebbe or someone important on Tishabav? Because if the reason is because you're too preoccupied, then on Tishabav, we're not so preoccupied. because we don't feel as bad as we should. But if the reason is because it's not honorable, then no honor in Tisha B'Av either. Tisha B'Av, everyone's an Avil. It's not honor. Stand up for someone. Halacha L'maisa. Rabbi Kiva Eger wants to be Mekel like the Shos Yaakov, but on Tisha B'Av, you don't have to stand up for a Rebbe because it's not hiddur. There's no hiddur. I don't mean honor like dishonorable, like immoral. I just mean like it's not hiddur. It's not giving honor to stand up on Tisha B'Av because on Tisha B'Av, when everyone's an Avil, there's no honor for an Avil standing up for someone. Okay, interesting. Chakira. Base. But according to this Rabbi Kiva Eger, then you don't stand up for your Rebbe on Tisha B'Av.
It's not, I heard, like, it's because they don't want, when you stand up, the
person's
going to tell you to sit down, you should.
No, but that's not either the
pshat. I know what I'm saying, so that's made up.
That's not... I don't know, maybe it's a third pshat that's not on the page. Could be, but that's...
Have you heard that before?
No, but it's not a crazy idea based on base. Okay. If he's suggesting a third, so he won't accidentally tell you shape. Okay, that's a good pshat. It's probably in someone, you know. It's such a good pshat, it has to be in the Achron. Just not on the page. Again, if someone wants to stand up and the Rebbe says, no, 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 sit, that's wonderful. Elam kein hu avel ochola, except for an avel or chola, you shouldn't say shave, even though they don't stand up for you. You shouldn't say shave, demashra, shave avelosh, shacha, shave mishchola, shalach, because that could have an unintended effect of saying stay, shave, stay sick, or stay in mourning, and that would be a curse on someone. What's the principle of this? The principle of this, you have to be careful with your words, even though from a purely secular scientific perspective, your words, I mean, if you insult someone, you'll make them feel bad emotionally, but otherwise words have no power. We believe that words have a power in ways that perhaps transcend our normal understanding, and therefore you have to be very careful what you say. Even if you mean it innocently, don't say something that seems that could be a curse. And therefore, likewise, some other examples of being careful what you say. Lo yomer adam, lo nefratik, fi masai, fi yotib dorme elu, shal yiftah filosofta. Kip of seach filosofta. The person can't say, oh, Hashem did something bad to me. No, he didn't do as much as I deserved. No, because then you're asking for more, right? So you should never say something that means you deserve a punishment. That's opening your mouth to the satan. That's like saying a bad thing should happen to you.
The shave, is that like a doctor? The meaning of English.
You mean, what if you say sit? Does sit mean to stay sick? It would seem to me that it's only shave, not sit. You know.
Okay.
It seems to me that it would be okay in English. Unless they stay as you are, you know. But that would... Most people don't say. Because I don't think that's what sit means. Like, how could sit mean to stay sick? I agree. Okay, and another example, V'al yomar adam la'avel, here is not the power of words, but just being careful not to say something inappropriate. V'al yomar adam la'avel malucha lasos ki yefshel shanos shizeh ki gidof demash v'am efshel shanos ha'yosa elei kavlo gzer shayukadish ha'shem yisbarach me'ava. Shouldn't say to someone with relative lies, oh, there's nothing you can do, what can you do? What can you do? You can't change it. Because that implies that you would like to change it because it's wrong. It's just that you don't have power to change it. But that's saying you know better than Hashem. You don't have the power to change it. No, you should accept what Hashem did. You can say, what can you do? It's exerim and Hashemayim. You know, you could say, you know, this is Hashem's plan. You know, this is Hashem's plan. It's saying that it's a good reason. But you can't say, like, what can you do about it? You can't change it because that implies you'd want to change it. And that's against our bitachon in Hashem. Okay, the Taz here quotes a big machlokus. The Marshal disagrees with this, but the Shach and many other achronim agree with this. We pass on like this Ramah. You have to be careful with your words, not only not to inadvertently say something bad that might possibly happen, but also not to say something that's insulting to Hashem. Gimel. Meish she'en lo avim l'snachim ba'amasar b'nei adam she'rim v'yoshim v'komo kol shiva yimei ha'velo sharam miskaps v'leim. If someone dies and has no relatives, so no one's said Shiva, but it's still honorable, here we see there's an Indian for the Neshama also of Shiva. So 10 kosher people, 10 good Jews, should go and sit all Shiva for him, and other people should go around them and Kilu visit them, you know, Shiva call to them. And if you can't find 10 people to volunteer to stay there all day long, then 10 Stam people come and like sit there even temporarily, and then everyone gathers around and they praise the mace and they talk about the mace and feel bad for the mace. However, says the Rav Lo Isi Nogin King, all right, I also haven't seen this minhag. Even when people die without relatives, I haven't seen this common minhag. The Kasa of Maril, Nogin Lispal Basara, Kol Shiva Makab Shanifta Sham Ha'adam, Behino Lom Shalinich Krob Yadun Lisabal Lov Yeshal Shamak Shabal Lomain Sarah, because everybody lit out. Maril says the minhag is, however, they did this when Rabbi Winevsky passed away. I don't know if that means anything to you. He was a big Talmud Chacham who used to hang out in the YU library and learn. He was blind. And he had no relatives. He was a bacher, an alter bacher, very alter bacher. And I guess his parents had already passed away. I don't know if he had siblings or not, but the Lysi had no relatives when he passed away. And like YU was his relatives. You know, not all of YU, only the people on a high level of learning who were able to converse with him. You know, the people who were not as learned had really could not, it was hard to have a conversation with him if you were not on a high level of learning, because, you know, the Lysi, that's all they like to talk about. So they made a minion in his house. During Shiva, if I recall correctly. Okay, and when do you make a minion where he died during Shiva? Only if he doesn't have a velem who are elsewhere. If he has a velem who are sitting elsewhere, then they'll take care of it. But if he has no velem, then you should make a minion. then you should make a minion where he died, all Shiva, because the neshama is connected to where the person died. And therefore, the neshama gets some benefit and comfort by having a minion there, all Shiva. Okay, here, as a tangent, the Taz gets into what you do and don't say Beveis Ha'avel. A few things. Says the Taz, let's make a list of things you do and don't say Beveis Ha'avel. Says the Taz here, you don't say Tachton Beveis Ha'avel. Okay, he quotes the Rokeach who says, but after davening, everyone says Tachton, I guess, on their own. That's not our minhag. Our minhag, we skip it entirely. So what are things we omit? Beveis Ha'avel. One is Tachanun. Why do we make Tachanun Beis Ha'avel? Not because it's happy that it's a Beis Ha'avel. Not like a Beis Ha'Mishnah. The reason is because Al Pi Kabbalah, obviously this is based on the idea that Tachanun is not a Chiyuv Gomer, apparently, which seems to be the mainstream meaning of Olim, because we have so many days we don't say Tachanun. So like the Das of the Gaonim, the Tachanun is not a Chiyuv Gomer. So Al Pi Kabbalah, Tachanun represents Din. Represents the side of Din, which is like the quote-unquote evil side, etc., of negative forces. Obviously, all these words mean all kinds of things that we're not going to properly explain now. But anyway, in the Beis Ha'avel is a place where Din is shura, where there's a strong Din. And the general principle in Armin Hagim Al Pi Kabbalah, that you never combine two things that are affiliated with Din, because that will cause too much Din. Discussed this previously once or twice. So therefore, we don't say Tachlan Beis Ha'avel, the prima godim in Hilchas Tachlan, what is it, Chuflam and Aleph, wherever Hilchas Tachlan is, the prima godim adds that we even don't say two other things that also are affiliated with Din. And okay, I don't understand exactly that these things are affiliated with Din, but I know we don't say them on happy days, so there must be something. So this is the Taz, the prima godim. In Orach Chaim, Simen Kof Lamed Aleph expands that to Kel Erech Apayim and Lam Natzeach. Obviously, I mean the Kel Erech Apayim Lam Natzeach that we skip on days like Rosh Chodesh, etc. We also don't say those Beveis Ha'avel. Now, for the opposite reason that Taz points out, we don't say Havel Beveis Ha'avel. There's a tremendous Hakira why we don't say Havel Beveis Ha'avel. Tremendous chakira, why we don't say Halal Beis Ha'avel, says the Taz, because he says there's aninos, and we don't say lo meis mihalal kavah because of loig l'rush. It sounds from the Taz like, what's the loig l'rush? Says there is aninos. Aninos, he doesn't mean aninos, opposed to Balaam's halal concept. He means sadness over death. Right? Sounds like because the Balaam are sad. So what do we say? Lo meis mihalal kavah. Ah, lo meis mihalal kavah, like your brother who just died. Obviously, we don't mean it that way. But it's insulting to them. It's lowing the rush. Oh, look how much better live people are than dead people. So because it is insulting, because it is insulting to the lowing the rush, therefore we don't say it. The rush is the avil, it seems. But there's a machlok zachronim. There are actually many pshatim. If you look here in the note of Yehuda, he says, that, well, he doesn't quote the whole note of Yehuda here in the Pesachim Chuvos of Gotten Beis, but some people say it's loig l'rush of the neshama, loig l'rush of the mace, not loig l'rush of the avelim. The nafkamina would be, what if it's the place he died, because the neshama is where he died. It's not necessarily where he lived. Where the mace lived, if he died in a hospital, that's not where his neshama hangs out. It's if he died at home, that's where his neshama hangs out. So the note of Yehuda, if you look inside, says some people say Log LaRosh for the neshama. And some people say it's just because, well, there's some in Hagen that only Tzibra says in Rosh Chodesh, and maybe you're not considered Tzibra there. Okay, that's not so relevant to us because we say B'yachid and B'tzibra in Rosh Chodesh. And he says no, because it's not a place of simcha. There's not enough simcha. You know, there's an answer of simcha of Beis Avel. Okay, so we have many, many different pshatim as to why we need to hallow Beis Avel. Is it because of simcha? Is it because of Loig L'Rush to the Avel? Is it because of Loig L'Rush to the Neshama? And the Nafkamina is what the Nodi Huda discusses. What if the Avel's not there? Nodi Huda says, well, it's no problem. Because if the Avel's not there, then, you know, basically here's the Chakira. Why don't we say Hallel Beis Avel? Is it because of the Avel or because of the Neshama, right? Loig L'Rush for the Neshama. Either Loig L'Rush or just Simcha, right? The Avel, you're not allowed to have Simcha around the Avel, Isser Simcha. Either Isser Simcha or Loig L'Rush. So the Nodi Huda, if not being as obvious, Nodi Huda says it's because of the Avel, and therefore, if the Avel leaves the room, you can say Hallel, because now the Avel's not there. And the Hara Carmel, which the next person quoted here, says no, it's because of the Neshama, and therefore, if the mace didn't die in this room, in this house, then you can say it, because the Neshama's not there. That's nafkamina. Nafkamina is what if the Avel's not there, or what if the Neshama's not there? The Hara Carmel admits there's some sort of tzvedinim. The Avel himself can't say it because of Simcha. Because yeah, Yom Asa Hashem Nagilas Lavo, he's not a Yom Simcha. But everyone else, why is it usher for everyone else? Because of, here, this is the Hara Carmel. And therefore he says, if the mace died there, it doesn't matter if the Avel hits usher. But if the Avel's there, it's no problem. And this is the Nodi Yehuda. He says, no, we don't care if the mace died there. We just care if the Avel's there. What is our minhag? L'chora, our minhag is, our minhag is to be machmir, and if the mace died there, then, but what's our minhag is that we don't want to skip Hallel, right? There's a whole discussion in the poskim. What about difference between Hallel on Chanukah and Hallel on Rosh Chodesh? Rosh Chodesh is a minhag. Chanukah is a din. So some people say, oh, well, Chanukah is docha, because it's a din. Or others say, no. Rosh Chodesh, you're potter, and you don't say it at home, because the minhag doesn't apply. Chanukah, you're potter, and the base of you have to say it at home, because it's a din. So theoretically, the like, on Rosh Chodesh, we paskin, you don't say it, and when you get home, you're potter, because the minhag doesn't apply to you. And on Chanukah, you don't say it, and when you get home, you have to say it, everyone but the avel, because it's a din. However, what the minhag nowadays is that the avel just leaves, the avel goes to another room, and we say hallel without him, then he comes back. What if the mace died there? Then we go into another, you know, into outside or into the hallway of the apartment building or something. We go into another place. We're makra both ways. The minhag is for avel to leave. And then we say hallel. Oh, what if the mace died there? Then we try to go someplace the mace didn't die. You know, another house, another you know, hallway, the apartment building, the yard, at the very least, you know, another part of the house. And we say hallel to try to be macher for the Hara Carmel, as well. But every place I've been, every Shabbat I've ever been, they said hallel in the Shabbat house. They just kicked the avel out of the room. That's what's makubal nowadays. So we do say hallel, we just kick the avel out of the room. Because he's very sad, and we're saying, well, Mason, hallelujah, and now he's saying, oh, and now I feel bad because my sister died, whatever the case may be. I mean, it's the same idea as Lord Rosh Hashanah from the Neshama, because we're, like, making fun of the dead person. That insults the Avel and insults the dead person. So it's a machlokas, who's more insulted? On the one hand, the Avel is a human being. On the other hand, maybe the Neshama, it's more direct. The Avel's more indirect. The Avel didn't die.
Making someone feel
bad,
or more like I can do this
and
you
can't. It's what would make someone feel bad. You know, doesn't matter if they actually feel bad. It's what would make someone feel bad. Okay, so that's a hollow. There's some other things we should mention as well. The end of this, Pisley Chuma Bay says, that the Avel should not say Psukei Simcha Shekodim L'Rav Yaskol Me'a Brachos. Right? The Avel doesn't say the Psukei before Avdolik. So the Psukei Simcha, right? Right? So the Avel doesn't say the Psukei Simcha before Havdalah. Here it doesn't say actually, interestingly, he doesn't say explicitly, what about in the base Havel? Right? In the base Havel, do the other people say it? So says the Gesher Chaim that other people say it, just not the Havel himself. So here it doesn't really go here. We'll put this in parentheses. We'll say the Havel Atzmo no Omer. Okay, Simcha, that come before Havdalah, but someone else can. Because the lashon here of the Harei Karmel is only the Avil doesn't say. Okay, that's not such a big Simcha like Hallel. What are other things we skip a base Avil? Let's just point out. There's some things that are controversial. Tiskabel. When do we skip Tiskabel because of Avelus? Or, I lied, perhaps. We skip Tiskabel on Tisha B'Av. Because our tefillos aren't accepted on Tisha B'Av. Why do we skip Tiskabel on Tisha B'Av? So some people say, because of Avelus. Avelus is not a time we can count on our tefillos being accepted. Therefore, we skip it in base Avel. That is not the mainstream day. The mainstream day is no, only on Tisha B'Av we skip this Kabel. Because there's a special din on Tisha B'Av called Sosam Tfilosi. Tisha B'Av is a special din of the heavens being closed to tefillah. But that's not true for every Avel. Who says Hashem doesn't listen to the tefillah of an Avel? Why shouldn't Hashem listen to the tefillah of an Avel? On Tisha B'Av there's a special din, Pasuk, Sosam Tfilosi. So, here, what are controversial? So, Tiskabel, the mainstream minhag, is to say it. Meaning we don't skip Tiskabel based on Avel. You don't have to make a fight about it. There is another opinion out there in the world. If someone wants to follow the other opinion, to say here, right? The most important thing when it comes to these things is that I'm not talking if someone wants to like eat pork in the base Avel. You know, there are different minhagim and different opinions floating on about there about exactly how to daven based on Avel. The most important thing is not to fight about. But if you want to know the right thing to do, the mainstream accepted by all the poskim and the mainstream minhag nowadays, unless someone has a very specific community where, I don't know, maybe some type of someone, you know, has a different minhag, but the mainstream, at least of everyone I've heard of, is to say Tiskabel. What is more controversial? How about Birkas Kohanim? Obviously, I'm talking about places where they say Birkas Kohanim on weekdays. How about Birkas like Israel or like Sardin in Chutz Laretz? How about Birkas Kohanim? So the mainstream minhag is not to dochen in a base Avel. Why? Because you need Simcha to dochen. And a base Avel is not a makom Simcha, right? That's one explanation why Ashkenazim in Chutz Laretz only dochen on Yantiv. Because that's only in Chutz Laretz. We're so sad to be in Chutz Laretz. Okay, they said we're so sad to be persecuted by the guy. We're so sad to be in Chutz Laretz that we can only be happy on Yantiv. But therefore, the main minhag, is not to dochen, but quote unquote minhag Yerushalayim is to dochen. Let's write dochen in English, right? Now, why do I say quote unquote minhag Yerushalayim? Because like every minhag Yerushalayim is the minhag of some people in Yerushalayim. But I think the more common minhag in Yerushalayim is to dochen. I don't mean everyone in Yerushalayim does that. Every community has their own minhag Yerushalayim. But most of what I've seen is that most people in Yerushalayim dochen even in Beis Avel. They take dochen very seriously. I don't know, maybe they're extra simple in Yerushalayim. They're close to the Mikdash. Maybe they take dochen more seriously because dochen is connected to the Mikdash. But outside of Yerushalayim, I think it's a universal minhag not to dochen. Again, if someone lives someplace else, they say we follow minhag Yerushalayim, they don't fight over it. I'm just telling you what the mainstream is. And then there are two things which are really, there's not a mainstream minhag. One is, right, Elokeinu ve'elokei avoseinu barcheinu v'chuli. How about the substitute for Birkas Kohanim? Right, that Ashkenazim and Chutz Laretz say every day, or in Eretz Yisrael we say if there's no Kohen. If you're going to skip dochening, do you at least say Elokeinu ve'elokei avoseinu? Or no, you treat it like a mincha when there's no inyan of dochening, right? Is it so muskel from duchening you don't say lukinu kiyav seinu? Or no, you don't duchen, but you still say lukinu kiyav seinu. That is a machlokes. There's different minhagim. This is really, it's a unresolved machlokes. I've seen every place do different things. The Gesher Chaim says to say it. What about a word America? What's Minig America? So l'chora Minig America is what it says in the article sitter. L'chora. So I think the article sitter says, I wrote down here, the article sitter says not to. Okay. So, but it's really an unresolved machlokas. Like any Minig is valid. But if you want to pick something, I would say, what does article say? Why am I quoting article? Is article a bigger posek than, you know, Rosh Hashanah or Rosh Feinstein? No. If you want to know what the Minig is, either article wrote what the Minig was, or after Artscroll wrote it, it became the Minhag in America. I don't know about other countries. So Artscroll says no. Another big machlokes.
So the Gesher Chaim said to say it?
Yes, the Gesher Chaim said to say it. But even in Eretz Yisrael, I've seen different Minhagim. I've seen different Minhagim even in Eretz Yisrael. What about, every Sefer will say something different because it's just a matter of Minhag. The other big machlokes is what about Banizos Brisi? Right, when else do we skip that, of course? Yes. Why? Because we don't want to make a bris on Chorban. Right? So we don't want to make a bris on Avelos. We don't want a bris on Avelos. We want Avelos to be an exception, not a rule. So, do you say Vanizos Brisini again? Do we take from Tisha B'Av to base Avel or not? Here, the time is a little better. There's not a bris. This is an exception. We want this never to happen again. So, it's also an unresolved machlokas. If I recall correctly, whoever's an art scroll sitter can check. I think the art scroll says not to say it. Okay. But again, the ikar of all these things is just not to make a fight over it. If they're the rabbi, people might ask you what to do. But the ikar is not to make a fight over it. Not to make a fight over it. Sometimes there's so much tension in the base of Avel because, not for a bad reason, because the person's relative died and they have a lot of unresolved bad feelings inside them. I'm justifiably so. That often fights break out over things, and you have to be very careful not to, make fights over silly things in a base avel, such as, it's the silly things in there. Two men hugging, and there are different opinions, then whatever you do is valid, even though obviously there's important philosophical reasons behind each one. Valid. Now we go back to even though it's a little strange, it's a little out of order, this Shulchan Aruch, he goes from the Beis Avel back to the funeral. Achshav Nogin, our minig nowadays. Achar Shenigmar, what is Achshav Nogin? We're unfortunately not going to have a chance to go over all the Minhagim that are found in the Gemara that they used to do, the Birkas Rechava, in the town square. They would do a special bracha for the Avelim. They would have brachas that we never heard of. They would say to bless Hashem and to bless the Gomel Chesed and etc. We don't do any of that. What do we do? Sh'achshanim or simis hakevri offer. After you finish filling in the grave, or if the oval's not going to the cemetery, if you turn around, cholts and melon vasandal. That's what we do, right? What's the first thing they do after the burial? They take off their shoes. And they go a little far away from the Beis HaKvaros. Or Omrim Kaddish, and they say Kaddish. Why do they go a little away from Beis HaKvaros? Because you're not allowed to say Kaddish, which is davening within Dalet Amos of a grave or in the Beis HaKvaros. The Shach agrees with this. The Taz agrees with this. Our minhag is not this way. Even though the Shach and Taz both agree with the Mechaber, the Gesher Chaim quotes in the Sefer Mavar Yavok that we consider Kaddish to be, again, it's a little bit of an amaratus. Kaddish is really a tefillah about Hashem. It's about the greatness of Hashem. It has nothing to do with dead people. But, it's as we like to say, all these, Reformed Jews think Kaddish are praying for dead people. No, it's a prayer for how great Hashem is. But Lamaisa, sociologically, Kaddish has turned into a prayer for dead people. Even though it doesn't say anything about dead people. I mean, this one happens to be. But therefore, we consider Kaddish to be Dvar Shel Mace. It's like a hesped. Kaddish is the Inyan of the Mace, even though it doesn't say anything about the Mace. Therefore, our minigods that we say Kaddish within Dalet Amos of the Kever. That's every place I've been. No one's followed this Mechaber. Our minig is the Gesher Chaim quotes in the Sefer Mavar Yavok that we consider Kaddish to be Dvar Shel Mace. Okay, it could just be that as time went on sociologically, people became so convinced it was Dvar Shel Mace that it just became so obvious that it's Kavanah Mace that, we not Machri Dalet Amos, but I don't know anyone who's, I'm sure someone in the world, but I never met anyone who's Machri to be marking Dalet Amos. In any case, we say the special Kaddish. This is called Kaddish Leishchadasa, right? Or Kaddish HaGodol. That's the real minna. The real name is Kaddish Leishchadasa. When do we say this Kaddish? Only twice. After the funeral and at a seal. What do we say? Kaddish to Asid Chadasa Alma, etc., etc. Okay, you've probably heard it at a siyum, you've probably heard it at a funeral. We say this fancy Kaddish. The Nosei Kelim point out, if you look at the Shach and Sivkat and Gimel, he says, this is the Minhag. If the mace is buried at night, we don't say Tzidek HaDin or Kaddish Beveis HaKfaros. Tzidek HaDin is a long tefillah that we say, which is basically, it's a piyut about how Hashem's din is just and correct. Tzidek HaDin, and this special Kaddish, we don't say Tzidek HaDin and Kaddish at night. That's also a pikavola, because Tzidek HaDin and this Kaddish, I don't understand the amkas of all these things, have to be din, and obviously night is more din, and day is more chesed, etc. So at night, same reason we don't say tachlin at night. So at night, we don't say Tzidek HaDin, and they say Dayan HaEmes, I'm not talking about the bracha, I'm talking about the piyut, the poem. They don't say Tzidek HaDin, and they don't say this Kaddish. What does it mean they don't say the Kaddish? Doesn't mean they don't say Kaddish at all. It means they don't say the Kaddish HaGadol, this Hadassah, they say regular Kaddish Yosom. So if it's at night, you'd say regular Kaddish Yosom. Then they take dirt and grass from the floor and throw it over behind their back, and they wash their hands. Why dirt and grass from the floor? Some of the posts can say that you can take dirt and grass together. If you take grass like and uproot it, you get dirt and grass together. It doesn't have to be two separate things. And there are many, many different opinions that are shown in why this minhag is. The Shach brings down at least three pshat in here. Four pshat in here, right? He quotes in the Ramban that it's a remez to paraduma, like the azov, the grass is the azov, and the afar is like afar, straight as a para. I know it's really afar, not afar, but the Torah used the word afar there, so it's a good remez, right? It's afar of paraduma, ashes. But the Torah calls it afar, so it's a good remez to have afar, and the grass is like azov. The Kolbo says it's just a derech of tsar to like throw things up on our heads. And he also points out, no, it's a remez to tchias hamesim. His third shot is, he says it's a remez to tchias hamesim because grass is like the mason coming up, and the afar is a remez to death, that afar enough, the afar atav ya'el afar tashuv. So there are three shots. And either the afar is a remez to death and the ephemeralness of human life, and the grass is a remez to tchias hamesim, or they're all about paraduma because we're now tmei mes, so we have a remez to paraduma, or they're all about tsar. Lemaisa, does everyone keep this minhag nowadays? Has anyone ever seen anyone do this after a funeral? Take grass and dirt and throw it behind their back. Have you? It's funny, all the Sfarim say that's the minhag. Like when is something the minhag if you never saw anyone do it? If it's a din, then even if no one did it, tough luck on that, right? The din is the din, right? So, you know, if no one ever lit Chanukah candles, it would still be a din. But is a minhag without getting into the tree that falls in the forest? It's a minhag if no one's knowing it. So, I don't know. It's hard to say there's a chiyuv of a minhag to do it if I never saw anyone do it. But it's a nice thing to do. It's a nice thing to do, but I don't know if you could say it's our minhag. It's our chiyuv if you could say it's our minhag. Because it doesn't seem to be the minhag.
And I don't like in Kotharts, or I to see Jews ripping out dirt like it looks like on the hollow ground of a heather.
I don't know. I mean, Jews do a lot of weird things. And Chutzlarts, if there's one thing Goyim know about at least Orthodox Jews and Chutzlarts, that they do weird things. I think they expect that, really. Like if an Orthodox Jew didn't do something weird, they would find it could kill them. Okay. Oh, just because, like, if you look in the Beis Yosef where he quotes it from, everyone just says, no, Gule. Like, no one quotes a mocker in Chazal. They just said, oh, no, Gule. And why? I think this is the reason why. So, yeah, no, from the Shulchan Aruch, you don't necessarily know. But if you look up the Rishonim, you'd see. Either they say, it says in Gemara and this and that, or they say Nahagula. So this is the minute. Okay, but this minute we're very machbit about, right? Barothin de Mamayim, right? We wash our hands after the kvura that everyone's very machbit about. Not only that, but the Ramah is about to say, V'nagula hakpidim yikonitzat l'bayis acher konim sheyuchas v'yikonitzat. Dot dot dot. Forget the dot 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 now. we'll read it in a few more lines, says, the minhag is that we're makbid. What does it mean, makbid? Meaning we don't allow. We don't allow you to go into a house without washing your hands with water. This is definitely the minhag nowadays. You ask anyone, ask your mother, your grandmother, your uncle, your cousin, everyone knows the minhag is you have to wash your hands after the cemetery. And if you don't wash your hands, you can't walk into the house without washing your hands, like someone has to bring you water outside the front door. I'm sure we've seen that. Right? Everyone's seen that minhag, right? No?
I know to wash my hands.
You never know that, like, okay, this, I've seen that minhag in America, that, like, if you don't wash your hands in the cemetery, then you could drive home, but you can't go in the house without washing your hands. Okay?
Well, any house?
Any house. Our minhag is like this, Ramah. You should wash your hands at the cemetery, and if not, you shouldn't go into a house without washing your hands. We had this once. Like, I went to some levayim for some reason, couldn't wash my hands there, and I came back here. So I called ahead, and someone brought me water outside. That's our minhag. Another minhag, which is minhag Yerushalayim. Two other minhag about washing hands. One minhag, which is minhag Yerushalayim, but I think they do in Chutz La'aretz also, I'm not sure. The minhag Yerushalayim is, you ever notice, you've been to levayim in Israel, no? They have places to wash your hands, right? What's missing?
Cups.
Towel. They have cups. There are no towels there. You go to Beit Shemesh. It's not that they're cheap. You go to Beit Shemesh, first of all, they don't have to be cheap, like the American cemetery in Beit Shemesh. They make plenty of money. And there's a bathroom, like, 10 meters from where you wash your hands, which has paper towels outside. People go to the bathroom, right? There's a sink of paper towels. But where you wash your hands, there's no paper towels or anything. Why? Because minhag Yerushalayim not to dry your hands after you wash them from a cemetery. So there's a minhag not to dry your hands after you wash them in the cemetery. It started as minhag Yerushalayim. I think it's a minhag everywhere. I don't know. Here's a... In America also?
Yeah,
I think in America, I think it's spread to America also by now. Okay, it doesn't say anything in the art school madras, but I think in America also the minhag. And so one minhag is to wash your hands. Second minhag is, and three times, that's just based on some mandala, the brain materials are dying. Second minhag is not to go to a house without washing your hands. Third minhag is not to dry your hands. Fourth minhag, where the Eger here says, we're familiar with half this minhag. I don't know if we're familiar with this one, but it's a real minhag also. I've seen people knock on this. Says Rabbi Akiva Eger here someplace. This big one towards the end. He says, we're makvid that you don't pass someone a shovel for burying the dead. Right? We're familiar with that one, right? You just put the shovel down, you stick it in the ground, and someone else takes it out, right? King Arthur. And you don't pass someone the cup, the Netilas Yadayim cup after washing your hands. I guess all of those are like passing on, like, the inyan of Misa. So you don't pass someone the cup. That's a real minhag. I've seen people mach on this nowadays. You don't pass someone the cup. You just put it down and they take it. Same as the shovel.
Is this minhag said only in reference to if you're in Tekfar with Berlavaya specifically? What if one just wants to visit Tekfar?
That's a good question. We definitely wash our hands. That's the mandala of Orachayim, regular Hilchos Netilas Yadayim. The question is, do we have all these pedas if you just went to visit the cemetery but didn't go to a cemetery? Obviously, the Ruchra is a little less, right? So I'm not sure. It's a good question. I'm not sure. I have to look it up. You know, these minhagim, if you don't know, you can't figure it out, right? No, you can't logically figure it out.
Rabbi Akiva Eger.
B'shas Rechitz Yadayim, Makpidim Shol Likach HaKli Migad HaRuchitz. Ad Kam Lashono, of who he's quoting the Elio Rava.
Who
had
that you can't go into the house?
Oh, the Rama, but we just didn't get up to it yet. I went one line out of order. Okay, so I'll read the Rama and we'll get to it. Says the Rama. Yen Shomer Shiyoshim Zayin Pa'amim Bein Sharuchos B'Lavos Oso V'Cholzman Shiyoshvin Borchim Menu. Some of you say you have to, on your way back, stop, sit seven times, then keep going, because the Ruchos Ros, the Shadim follow you home from the cemetery, and each time you sit, some of them go away, and after seven times, they all go away. And we only sit three times, etc., etc. We sit each time, and Yoshib Seser. You're allowed to do that on Yontav, because it's not a velos, just protection from Shadim. Okay, here's the part for Nogul Hakvid, and Kanis Adam. Hakvid means to be upset, to be mad, to forbid. That a person is not allowed to go to a house before Yerchatz Yadav, the Yeshiv Gimel Pa'amim, and does this sitting three times. The Minhag Avoseinu Torah, and the Minhag Avoseinu is Torah. Okay, this minhag, the Gesher Chaim says, and I've seen it quoted in the other books also, a lot of sfarim don't quote this minhag at all. The Gesher Chaim says, it seems that we're not knowing this anymore nowadays. Some places the relatives are knowing, but it seems that we don't have this minhag. Even though minhag was saying the Torah, but if we stop doing the minhag, then it's not a minhag anymore. That's the difference between minhag and din. A minhag is only binding if it's a minhag. So we don't seem to have this minhag. However, we have a different parallel minhag. When do we stop seven times and say, Yo, vihinom yoshiv seser? Does that sound familiar to you at all? Stop seven times and say, vihinom yoshiv seser? Well, we're lavin mace before the burial, on the way to the burial. Our minhag is that on the way back to the burial, we don't do this. We assume washing our hands three times gets rid of all the shadim. But on the way, we also want to be mavriach the shadim, not from the cemetery. They're supposed to be in the cemetery, but from the mace. The shadim want to go with the mace into the kever. So in order to be mavriach the shadim from the mace on the way to the kever, we have a different minhag. Our minhag is that on the way to the kever, we stop a different minhagim. The main minhag, I think in America, is to stop seven times and each time say, the first time stop it's ki, second at ki malachav, third at ki malachav itzava, fourth at ki malachav itzava lach, fifth at ki malachav itzava lach lishmorcha, sixth at lishmorcha b'chol, and seventh at lishmorcha b'chol drachecha, and that's what the mace needs, malachav itzava lach lishmorcha b'chol drachecha, and the mace is going in the sterech, the malachim, Hashem shem malachim to save him from the shadim. Anyway, in Eretz Yisrael, they don't have that minhag, they just stop some number of times, and they say, the whole vihinam the whole time, but it's the same idea. They stop and say vihinam yoshev seser many times on the way. That is our minhag. This idea of the key of the malacha was found in the Taz here. Although again, it's found here about leaving the cemetery. Our minhag is do it on the way to the cemetery, or on the way within the cemetery to the grave. Okay, that is down the road of the cemetery. That's our minhag to do it for the mace on the way to the grave, not for ourselves on the way home. Now, here we get a famous din, which is not found in the Mechaber, even though he had this din, right? Ninsim midrashos, in some obscure midrashim, right? It says, Lomer Kaddish Alav. We all know the story, right? The guy who died, he was Gehenna, he appeared to Rekiva and said, if my son will say, maybe it wasn't Kaddish, maybe it was Baruch with different versions, Dvar Shemekdusha from the Amud, then I'll be saved from Gehenna, and it worked. And the person came in a dream to Rekiva and told him how much it worked. So there's a marker in the Medrash, it's not found in Shas, not in Bavli, not in Yerushalmi, it's found in the Medrash that you say Kaddish for an Av. An Av is Lavdafka, it means an Av or an Av. That the kid should say Kaddish for his parent, Ramazaka Abba, and that will get him out of Gehenna. Al-Kei Nagu Lomar Al-Ava in Kaddish Basra, Yud-Beis Kaddish Basra means the end of davening for 12 months. V'chein, I know he's going to modify that, V'chein Nagu Lahaftir, what else is good? Really, any Dvarim of Yusha, but especially Haftorahs, Lahaftor Norin, let's call Arvis Motzik Shabbos, then Arvis Motzik Shabbos. In a lot of shuls, they're very especially Machmed to Davin for the Omer, Marv Motzik Shabbos. Why? She was mine. She chose on Neshamas Legehenim, because the Neshamas get a break from Gehenim on Shabbos, they go back, Motzik Shabbos, they need extra Zachuyas, Shabbin, Mishal, Makadish, Barabim, Hold of Bimo, Mani Gehenim. Okay, this we all know. Benagulam Makadish, Laim Afisha of Chayadayan, Ain of Yadu Limchos, of Nosal Yom Kadish Limo. This is the big Machlokes, quoted in the Beis Yosef, and can the father tell the son, I don't want you to say Kaddish for your mother? And we pass, no, the Kaddish says, the son should say Kaddish for his mother, even if his father's alive, and the father can't object. Okay, Minhag, now we'll come back to that. Minhag les anos miyoshimes avoim, it's a minhag to fast on a yard site. That's also one of those things that's not such a strong minhag nowadays. Only the stark litvaks nowadays still fast on a yard site. Stark Litvak still fasted on the yard site. The Rav always fasted on his parents' yard site. Rav Lichtenstein always fasted on his parents' yard site, even when he was very old. Even people who are not Gedolei Hador, real Litvak still fast on their parents' yard site. Okay, it's definitely a tremendous toelos to fast on your parents' yard site. However, it's good to fast on a parents' yard site. However, most people nowadays don't fast on the yard site. As a matter of fact, we'll see later on, they talked about, the Ramah talks about, can you go to a wedding on a yard site? Says, well, you shouldn't go to a wedding on the night before your parents' yard site. Why doesn't he say on the day of your parents' yard site? Well, because you're fasting anyway. Obviously, you can't eat at a wedding. No, but at night, when you're not fasting, you still should eat at home and not at a wedding, right? So, in the days of Ramah, it's Pashat. Everyone fasts on the parents' yard site. Nowadays, we don't like fasting so much. And most people, instead, what they do in their parents' yard site is they make a suda instead. They make a tikkun, as it were. They sometimes make a, they sort of give out food and have people like eat a lot of food and make a bracha, le'ilu nishmas their parents. Exactly where this came from. Some people say it came from the fact they would make a siyum instead of fasting, like Erev Pesach. They made a siyum le'ilu nishmas their parents, and for a siyum, suda is mitzvah, they wouldn't fast. And then they forgot the siyum and just kept the food. So some people, litvaks, still keep the old minhag of fasting, but you're not a bad person. You're not violating minhag Yisrael if you don't fast on your parents' yard site, because most people nowadays don't. So either they make a siyum or do something to commemorate their parents' yard site and eat there, or they just, you know, make a tikkun and shul and have everyone eat and make a bracha le'ilu nishmas, and that's the le'ilu nishmas instead. Okay, so the minhag nowadays for most people is different.
Seems like making a suda is almost bad. Like if the mitzvah is to fast, now we're having a suda. If there's no siyum, it's almost like.
Correct, but when it comes to minhagim, you could say, but our minhagim has been talking in a different way. Look, part of it is the door we live in. Meaning, we live in a door where everything that they used to have a minhag to be like very sort of harsh and tough and like you know, cause themselves tzar about. Nowadays, we fix that with simba. So this is part of the difference in the door. Again, I'm not talking about halachos. He didn't say it says anywhere in the Gemara. It's a hint in the Gemara that some people would make a neder to fast on the yard site. Okay, but it doesn't say you have to. It's a minute. So, thing is, I'm a litvak, you know, so I still like the litvaks do it. But in our door, we do simcha where they used to do tzar. And we assume that accomplishes things for our door. So, you know, who am I to go against the door? So again, you're only very stark litvaks still do it. I don't know, I assume maybe yakas also do, because they just like the open hugging. But most people nowadays do not fast on a yard site. Okay, shlosha. Now here we get to one of the most difficult areas of halacha, which is who has the right to say kaddish. There are books, come out books and books about this. It couldn't even be the longest beer halachas about this. You go back to Simon, Chafamid Beis, wherever, I forget where we discussed it there, in the Shvenis Magen Avraham. There are machlokos and cases crazy about who gets to say Kaddish, who doesn't get to say Kaddish. It was a really, really big deal. Like, it was bigger than suing someone for $1,000, right? Because people said Kaddish very seriously. So let's see some of the halachos. Shlosha achin ve'ish nachri. And keep in mind, in those days, they didn't have the minhag that everyone says Kaddish together. So, like, either you got Kaddish or you didn't, and people really want to Kaddish. Now, I'm not going to go into all the notes of Kalin and all the details. We'll just read the Ramah. Shlosha achin ve'ish nachri. Nachri doesn't mean goy. It means not a brother. Right? Meaning, one guy had three sons. Reuven died and left three sons. And Shimon died and left one son. How do they split it? If you split it by the dead people, it's 50-50. If you split it by the live people, it's 3-1. So do Reuven's kids get half because he was half of the dead people? Or do they get 75% because they're 75% of the live people? Right? Does the zechus belong to the dead person or the live person? That also comes up in all these things we're not going to get into. What if the kids pay taxes to the town and the father didn't, or live in the town, or vice versa? All these things are mamish din and mamonos. So, what's the din? Shlosha achlin notin, shlosha kadish v'achar notin kadish echad. It doesn't go by the dead people, it goes by the live people. Three brothers get three times as much kadish as one brother. V'nagush magil adam yoshmeis v'av v'imo, we call yard site, sha'omer lein kadish yasom li'ola. The minhag is say kadish on the yard site forever. That's our minhag, of course. Umishim adam is pal, called tefillim is pal, whoever knows how to daven all the davening within the yard site should. V'meshav el lecherim, what if there are a lot of havilim? Nagush etoch shiva le'evlam hein kodmin ve'im lo kadish klal. Toch shloshim yesh lo kadish echad. V'achar shloshim kol ha-kadishim shalosh ha-yom hein shalo. If there is a yard site versus, and they're very long shachan taz here. If there's a yard site versus an avel who's within the first year, it depends. If it's yard site versus someone in shiva, the guy in shiva wins, the yard site loses. If it's yard site versus a guy in shloshim, the guy in shloshim gets everything but one kadish, the yard site gets one kadish. If it's Yartzeit versus a guy who's past Shloshim just in his 11 months, then the Yartzeit wins and gets everything. And that would be the minhag nowadays as well. I mean, nowadays you don't fight over the Kaddishes, right? But what about the Amud? So if the Shiva versus the Yartzeit, the Shiva wins. If the Yartzeit versus a Yudbeis Chodesh, the Yartzeit wins. If it's a Yartzeit versus the Shloshim wins, but he should give the Yartzeit like Asher Yavolitzion. Same idea as this. And when do you count Shiva and Shloshim for purpose of Kaddish? Not for when the guy practices Shiva and Shloshim Avedos. Because here's the point. the Shivan Shloshim of Kaddish is not the same as the Shivan Shloshim of Avelus. Kaddish is not part of Hilchas Avelus, right? Kaddish is not to show you're sad. Kaddish is to save the Neshama from Gehenim. So Kaddish doesn't depend on the Avel schedule. It depends on the Mesa's schedule. So for example, let's say someone heard that the relative died 2 weeks late. They can't Shiva 2 weeks after everyone else and Shloshim 2 weeks after everyone else. They have their own Shiva and Shloshim, right? Not they came in the middle, right? Everyone else finished Shiva. Let's say, so in that case, but that doesn't help for Zechuyos for Kaddish, because Kaddish doesn't depend on when this guy is Miss Avel. Kaddish, I know nowadays, is for like the emotional health of the Avel. Like he feels better if he can say Kaddish. And Yesh B'Zemashu. But that's not where it comes from halachically. Halachically, it's to help the Nifter. So Kaddish depends on the Nifter. The Nifter has a special status in Gehenna, and hopefully not in Gehenna, but worst case scenario, for 7 days, and a special status for 30 days, and a special status for 12 months. That counts from the burial. Gehenna starts at burial. And therefore, we count from burial for purposes of Zechuyos of Kaddish, not from when the Avol started practicing Avilus. Again, Nachri doesn't mean Goy. Goyim don't say Kaddish. It means a outsider. Does an outsider have rights, or only the townspeople have rights? Who counts as an outsider? Who counts? That's what all those together discuss. Who counts as an outsider? Who counts as a townsperson? Does it depend whether you pay or not? Okay, go by the minhag. We're not going to get into it. The aim, Malcolm, let me just make 1 point. The Pisri Tshuva says make 2 points. In the old days, people would fight crazy World War III, Hatfield and McCoy, over who got to say Kaddish. And even nowadays, they'll fight over who gets down to the Omet. So two ha'aros. Number one, if you look in the Pesach Tshuva, Sifkatan, Vav. I am a shut divrei igeres shuhu zalvim the nusso tiken. Whoever the divrei igeres was, the gadol of dor in his country, shakala velinu kaddish biach. They all say together, so they don't fight. I ain't shan tamu nimuka. We all know it's tamu nimuka because otherwise they kill each other. It used to be World War III over kaddish, so they all say kaddish together. That's the minhag in every shul I've heard of nowadays, except for a few yekish places that still keep the old minhag of the Ramah. But every shul, except for the real stark yekim, have this minhag that we all say it together. Then the halachic times discusses what if. If they all say it, why do they all say it together? Because of Darkei Shalom, otherwise they would kill each other. It's not worth killing each other. Rav Schechter says, you know Rav Schechter, he says that's an improper minhag. Only one person can say Kaddish at a time. And therefore, whenever there's more than one person saying Kaddish, he just doesn't say when he was saying for his father. So Rav Schechter said, no, it's an improper minhag. Only one person say Kaddish at a time. Okay, you know what? That's easy for Rav Schechter to say. Because Rav Schechter's a tzaddik when it comes to his personal inyanim, being mevater on his personal things, right? He does not. He doesn't have an ego. Everyone has. You know what I mean? Rav Schechter doesn't have an ego, so he's such a tzaddik. He'll say, you know what? No, only one person stay at a time, and I'll always be mevater. Okay, that works if everyone be as big a tzaddik and not having an ego as Rav Schechter. But in the real world, it's not going to work. In the real world, that's not going to work. People do have an ego. People are not mevater so much. And therefore, we should keep our minhag of having everyone say Kaddish together, even though it's not the most ideal halachically. But Mishum Darkei Shalom, it's totally worth it, because otherwise it really becomes World War III and people mamish kill each other. You would not believe how much people used to kill each other over Kaddish before they instituted this minhag. Okay, another point. This where Shechter says, maybe. They still need to fight over who dominates for the Ahmed. Yoni.
Why is it that what's the problem with having everyone saying it together? Like, why is it an improper?
Well, okay, there's two problems. The main problem is that I say two. Number one, it's a Darsh of Kedusha. The whole point of Darsh of Kedusha, the Chazan says it and everyone answers. There's no Mokar in Chazal. There's no Takana. They were talking Darsh of Kedusha. They were never talking two people could do it together. But even more so, says Rav Schechter, the whole point is to have the Zchus of making the Tzibur answer. Lemaisa, if they would answer without you, then he says that's not the Zchus of Kaddish. The whole point of Kaddish is to get the Tzibur to answer the Kaddish, to get them all to say, to lead them into saying Yehesh Mirabah Mbarach, and to lead them all to saying Amen. But if someone else is saying it anyway, you're not leading them to saying Amen. It's like, you know, Like other things we do that Rosh Hashanah doesn't hold from, you know, like lighting Shabbos candles and there's already light in the room. So the number one, just because a kind of Dorm Shabbatusha is for one chazan, not for multiple chazanim. And also the whole point is to be responsible for everyone else to say it. And if they say it without you, then, you know, you're not really responsible for them saying it. Okay, the answer back is you can share that responsibility. Anyway, Lemaisa, it's a big Indian. We should keep our minhag. Oh, people still fight over. Oh, one thing I would say, there's also a practical problem. Sometimes the avelim are uncoordinated and you can't hear any kaddish. So that every rav in his shul is chayav to make a takana to make sure that they're all coordinated. So in my shul, for example, they made a takana that all the people saying kaddish have to stand in a certain place for kaddish. They're not allowed to say kaddish in their seats. They all have to stand next to each other. And if they stand next to each other, then naturally they keep the same pace. As opposed to if they're each in their seats, then they each keep their own pace. So every rav has to make a takana to make sure they are on the same pace. What if they're not on the same pace? It says right here, quote the Lachos Katanos, the same Pesach Chuvus Katan Vav, that if they're all end within Tokh De Dibra of each other, just say Amin Yehishmi Rabba once, and it counts for all of them. If they end not within Tokh De Dibra, then answer many times. So if you have five Avelim and they're not even within Tokh De Dibra of each other, then say Amin Yehishmi Rabba five times. Yes, Effie.
I think I remember hearing from Newberman that he docked up for his show that they don't coordinate each other, because then you.
Then each one has their own minion. If you have if you have a lot of people in shul, if you have 200 people in shul, they can each have their own minion, and then there's no compromise. They're each saying it alone for their minion. Of course, that depends how many people are in your shul. You need 10 for Avel. Okay, you have to use your brains. You have to use your kai judgment, rather. Anyway, one thing that's the most important thing, this is the Masor from Reshechter, but you don't need a Masor from Reshechter, it's common sense. People love to fight over the Maftir. People love to fight over the Matzei Shabbos Ma'ariv, over the Omid, this and that. Rav Shechter says that Rapashit, if you don't believe this, then you just don't have any sound judgment. He says, what's a bigger zechus, the Eloi Neshama of your parent? That you chap the Amid or that you're Mevater for another year to make Shalom? So he says, obviously, it's a bigger zechus to be Mevater than to daven for the Amid. So that's something also. Every rabbi should darshan this at least three times a year from the pulpit, that it's a bigger zechus to be Mevater than to daven for the Amud for your father's neshama. Up in Shemayim, he gets much more credit if his kid is mevater than if his kid chops the Amud. And Rosh Hashanah is the same thing on the plane. What's a bigger zechus for your father's neshama? Right, they make a chil Hashem on the plane and say Kaddish, or that you make a Kiddush Hashem? Okay, poshut. Every situation is different. I'm saying Rosh Hashanah says, and 100% of the times, us are making a minion on the plane. Every situation is different. But the key is that it's a much bigger zechus for your father or mother's neshama to have darkei shalom and to be mevater and to get along and to be kiddush Hashem than to get the avod. That is the first yisod. Everything else is second. Okay, let's continue a little more. Yes.
Which in the Ramah says it's just the kaddish batra. Like there are like a lot of different kaddishes that were added to that being met.
Right, so they added a lot of different kaddishes. One of the reasons is to have all the avelim have a chance, have less wars, right? Less World War IIIs. So it's all of what we call kaddish yasam.
So is it necessary
to have so many kaddishes? So if there are avelim, it's necessary to have so many kaddishes, because by now the avelim have a zechus to them. If there are no avelim, we'll see in a moment. Okay, so let's continue. Where am I? Oh, I'm on the next page, sorry. And again, there's all these different rules about who gets Kaddish and all the Achronim that we're not going to get into now. Here we are. You only say Kaddish for your parents, not for other relatives. What if there's no one whose parents died in the last 11 months in Shul? There's no Avelim? Then someone whose parent died, because if someone's both parents are alive, it's considered disrespectful to say Kaddish. But someone whose parent died, well, at least one of his parents died, should say it, and it'll be a zechus for all the dead Yidden. And which Kaddish is this? This seems to be only the Kaddish Basra, right? Kaddish Basra, for example, if you have Aleinu and Shir Shal Yom, you don't have to say both Kaddishes. There's no Avelim in Shul. Just someone who doesn't have his parents alive says the last Kaddish at the end. Because there's an Inyan to have Kaddish at the end. There's a Choran Inyan for Kaddish Drabbanan as well. As a matter of fact, you know, Sekalim here say, if you look someplace here, that even if your parents are alive, you can say Kaddish Drabbanan. And Kaddish Drabbanan is not as much avelus as regular Kaddish. So Kaddish Drabbanan, there's an inyan, and Kaddish Basra, there's an inyan. Other than that, it's just the zechus of the avelim, so they have more opportunities.
So just Kaddish right after Lenin, I think it's something that say that no one's there, then someone who just lost the parents should say after Lenin, or
It's a big machlok. The simple pshat is Basra. It's the last Kaddish. So for Nusach Sfar, it's after Elenu, but for Nusach Ashkenaz, it's after Shir Shal Yom. That's the pasha pshat. Now, there's some people who want to say Elenu, but it's very hard. You know, it's a chiddush, rather. It's a chiddush.
In the Kaddish Darbanan, is it, let's say, like an army in here, someone should, even if there are no who have lost parents, someone should...
So all the Sfarim say, even if everyone's parents are all alive, he should still say Kaddish Darbanan. Well, nice. I haven't seen that be the minute. People are afraid to say Kaddish Drabbanan if their parents are alive, even though it says it all the Nosa Kalim not that way. But people are afraid to say Kaddish Drabbanan if their parents are alive. Let me just find you the a marker here. Half a second. Yes, in the Pesach Chumas of Katan Dalit. He's very mefurish. He said, "Masin and Shneim Chaylim are Kaddish. If your parents are alive, you shouldn't say Kaddish unless it's some emergency and your parents are mochel. Sometimes it happens. There's no one to say Kaddish for the grandfather, and the father has to work so hard he can't go to shul, so he's mochel. He and the mother are mochel. The kids should say Kaddish for the grandfather, but that's very rare. Normally, you're not allowed to say Kaddish both your parents are alive. The daf Kaddish also called Drabbanan Yachalomar King Kasav Chumas Evan Shom Simon Chaf. Okay, all the books say you can say Kaddish Drabbanan even if your parents are alive. Lamaisa, people are afraid to do it." Well, I guess the minhag is not to do it. You know, what can I tell you? That's the minhag. I've seen everyone whose parents are alive refuse to say Kaddish Drabbanan. It's really okay, but I don't know. Don't mess with the minhag. If no one wants to say it, no one will say it. Okay, continuing. Some people say some things that many people say Kaddish for other relatives that no one's saying to their parents, meaning they have no right to push someone else off. But if no one's saying to their parents, they can. Right, some places people say Kaddish for other relatives, even if there are people saying to their parents, they just take a smaller share. And you follow the minhag, but it has to be a minhag kavua, not a minhag someone invented last month. Okay, so this is a big issue even nowadays. The mainstream minhag is to only say Kaddish for parents, not for other relatives. Like if someone dies, their son says Kaddish, and not their brother and sister and father and mother and husband, etc. That is the mainstream minhag. Some people nowadays have been like if someone asks. That's what you should tell them is a mainstream minhag of makom, our makom. The minhag is only kids say Kaddish, assuming there is one son at least. All right? What's our minhag? Let's say better. The minhag is that only the son says Kaddish, but if there's no son, then someone says Kaddish. Right? If there's no son, then a grandson says Kaddish. Or, like the minhag is to have all sons say Kaddish, and if there's no sons, at least someone. Right? That is the mainstream minhag, all sons. And if there's no sons, then someone has to do it. Who's the someone? The best is a grandson, or if not a son-in-law, or if not a close relative, based on all the rules of who's the closest relative, like we see in Yerusha and other things. And if none of the relatives can, then to hire someone to do it, because at least you hire someone, you have the schus of paying them. And if you can hire someone to do it, then ask someone to do it for free. Better to hire someone than to have someone do it for free. Because if you hire someone with the money that the mace left and with the money of the kids, right? If the family spends their money to hire someone, at least the family's putting effort into it, right? It's the family sacrificing for it, so they get more of a zechus. Great, think about it. If I ask you to do me a favor, if I pay you to do it, in which way do I get more credit? Right? Obviously, I get more credit than I paid you because I sacrificed. So it's better to pay. It's 100% better to pay than to have someone do it for free. Like if someone's willing to do it for free, you should pay them. But again, so the most b'diavad is someone else do it for free. Second most b'diavad is to pay someone. And the normal thing to do, if there's no son, is to have a different close relative do it, a grandson or a son-in-law or a relative, whoever's closest, a father or brother, et cetera, et cetera. you know, let's say someone dies, a kid dies, usually the father will say Kaddish for him because he's the closest relative. What's the big controversy? The big controversy is, how about a daughter, right? How about a daughter? Could a daughter say Kaddish or not, right? After all, logically, whatever applies to a son should apply to a daughter because they're the descendants, right? If Bra Mazaka Abba, Lachor Brata also Mazaka Abba, right? That would make sense. So how about a daughter? That is dealt with in all the classic Achronim. Not as far back as Shach and Taz. I don't think anyone happened to me then. But as far back as the 1700s, even the, you know, the Pesachei Tshuva deals with it here in Sif Katan Zion. He says, Gimel. Chavos Yard. Someone had no son, and he said his daughter should say Kaddish. So he says, theoretically, it would work, because once the daughter says Kaddish, the son says Kaddish. Oh, she's not a Mechoyi B'davar. But we know a Katan can say Kaddish. Right? A Katan's allowed to say Kaddish. If someone dies, Lo Aleinu, and leaves a 9-year-old son, obviously a 2-year-old son can't say Kaddish. Someone dies and leaves a 9-year-old son, the 9-year-old son should say Kaddish. Maisa Mechol Yoma. Unfortunately, it's sad, but Maisa Mechol Yoma, 9-year-old son, say Kaddish. So a woman can say Kaddish, and it'll be Nachas Ruach, but however, says the Chavos Yair, hundreds of years ago, since it's a public thing and it's against the minhag and it's a pirza in minhag Yisrael, therefore he ossered it. Right? It's not worth it going against the minhag. Nowadays, as we know, this is a very sensitive issue, the whole question of feminism and halacha. So all the poskim have always agreed with this Chavos Yair. There's a big machlokas. What if she makes a minion in her house? Nothing to do with that tzibur. Is she allowed to do it? Then that's her own dalet amos, you know, so it's not going against the minhag of the shul. That was a big machlok zachronin. Lemaisa, all the posts can agree with the Chavos Yair, and the halacha is that the daughter cannot say Kaddish. However, some achronin write that was only in the Chavos Yair's days. In the Chavos Yair's days, one person said Kaddish. So if the woman would say Kaddish, then that would be already reform. But nowadays, everyone says Kaddish together. Nowadays, that a lot of people say Kaddish together. So that's not a shinui minhag to have the woman say Kaddish. They're saying Kaddish anyway. She's just joining in. There's 100 men saying Kaddish. You know, she's just joining in. That's not a big difference. Says Rav Henkin. Right? Rav Henkin was not trying to be modern or anything. Who is Rav Henkin? He was the gut. Remember? Yep. Okay, once upon a time when I was a kid, Rav Moshe Feinstein was the Gadol HaDor of America. There's no such thing as a Gadol HaDor of America nowadays, so we don't know what that means. He was the Posek of America. Mimosha ad Moshe lekam kemoshe, Moshe kibol Torah miSinai. Masara liyados America. Before Rav Moshe, Rav Henkin was the Gadol HaDor of America. He was the Gadol HaDor of America. You know, pretty much undisputed. Rav Henkin paskind. Yeah, he is a grandson of Rav Henkin, who's the husband of the head of Nishmat, who's a big Talmud Chacham. But has a reputation for being more open, modern, whatever you want to call it. And nothing to do with his grandfather. His grandfather was a regular European guttle. Everyone's more open, modern than someone else, you know, but he was not more open and modern than Rav Moshe Feinstein. So Rav Henkin said, but he just said logically. He said, look, this whole Chavos Yair was only when one person said Kaddish. Then it was a big shinoi to have a woman lead the services. But nowadays, the woman also says Kaddish. What's the big deal? And it's mutter. And Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in one of his tshuvas, he never addresses this, but in one of the tshuvas he writes, Agav Orcha, when he's talking about mechitzas, how he remembers in Lithuania, like a woman would come to shul just to say Kaddish. And just like, he's not talking about it, he just mentions it as a case to illustrate some other point he's trying to make when the woman would come to say Kaddish. It's actually big hetter there. He says, yeah, like one woman could go in the men's section. That's not the problem with mechitza. Only if, like, there's a masses. Because when I was in Lithuania, one woman would always come to say Kaddish in the men's section. Okay, that, we're not discussing mechitza, but they say Rav Moshe obviously held it like Rav Henkin. He obviously held it as mutter for one to say Kaddish, because he just mentioned that they did in Lithuania, and the chor where Moshe says this is what they did in Lithuania, he means it was okay. He doesn't mean that it was wrong. He would have said so. So, Pashtus is, okay, that's all the Gedolim Ador ever in America, right? I don't know all the Gedolei Ador, like the Gedolei Ador, like the Gedolei Adors. Rav Moshe, Agav Orcha, but sometimes Agav Orcha is more powerful than saying it as a psak. It's not even a psak. It's just, yeah, you know, it's just pashut. And Rav Henkin said, as a psak, said that Chavos Yard doesn't apply. Rosh didn't say any svaras. Chavos Yard doesn't apply nowadays. This is a big debate nowadays. Okay, my Masorah from Rav Aaron Soloveitchik is that it's a chiyuv to let women say Kaddish based on this psak of Rav Henkin nowadays, because if you don't let a woman say Kaddish when her parent passed away, and she's in a lot of emotional turmoil, and it's very sensitive, tain of all the time, everything's sensitive nowadays. You know, every time I read any sif of the Shulchan Aruch, it's a microaggression against someone. But there's this sensitivity of the sort of nowadays modern world, and then there's things that are like really sensitive because someone just died. You know, so this is real. This is real, not microaggression. Like when someone dies, that's a real tsara. So here, her father dies, and she wants to say Kaddish, et cetera, et cetera. So what do I tell all the women? I say, it's a bigger chus for your father's neshama to not say Kaddish than to say Kaddish. There are some achronim who say it might be a big chus to come and answer Kaddish in shul. Come and answer Kaddish in shul. I know one family in Alon Shvat who are very into women really doing, a lot and not just sitting home and, you know, doing all the mitzvahs they can, but also very traditional and don't like to be liberal about things. And when this lady's father passed away, she was makbid for 11 months to go to Minyan 3 times a day and answer Amin Yehishmei Rabbah to the Kaddish. Okay, that's Lohadrin, wonderful. Or the one wants to stay home and say, give me a break, you know, women don't have to go to shul 3 times a day, don't drive me crazy. That's also fine, Lamahatrin. You don't have to be a Lefnimishur Sadin. Okay, but I would tell anyone, it's a bigger schus, you can quote me on this, it's a bigger schus to not say Kaddish than to say Kaddish. Because it's a bigger schus to be machzik, the or traditions of Judaism, than to say Kaddish. But the one wants to say Kaddish. It's very nice that Bednarsh is a caveman and, oppresses women. But she wants to say Kaddish. So Masor from Aaron Soloveitchik, who was also very far from a feminist, that it's a chiyuv to let women say Kaddish and shul together with the men. It's a chiyuv to let women say Kaddish and shul together with the men, because if in this sensitive moment when their parent passed away and they want to do something and you're telling them they can't, and it hits very, very, very deep and it becomes personal, it's not just religious, it becomes very personal, then you'll turn them off to Orthodox Judaism and they'll leave Orthodox Judaism and they'll leave the derech. And therefore, okay, if someone says, I want to eat pork, you know, or else I'll leave the derech, then too bad. You know, someone says, I want to drive in Shabbos or else I'll leave the derech, then, you know. But if someone says they want to do something that Rav Henkin said is okay and Rav Moshe said is okay, then he says it's usher to not let them do it. Because you're going to drive them off the derech in something where the Gedolei Poskim said it was okay. And therefore, the minhag in all the shuls in our communities is, like Rav Aaron Soloveitchik said, he didn't say, he just was very forceful about it. He says it's usher to not let them say that we let women say Kaddish if they want together with the men. What if there's a man saying Kaddish? Then we appoint a Torah note of men to say Kaddish, that the women can say Kaddish along with them. That's what they do in most of the, again, not the very liberal Orthodox shuls. They'll let a woman say Kaddish alone against the Chavos Yard. But in most of the mainstream modern Orthodox shuls, the YU type modern Orthodox shuls, they will let the women say Kaddish to the men. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was very forceful about it. No one wants to go against him. And all the Gedolim of America were mater. And they will just appoint a few men, say, always say Kaddish so that the woman can say Kaddish with someone and you won't have this awkward case where either she'll say Kaddish without the man and then everyone will fight and it'll be a Chil Hashem. Or she won't say Kaddish, but she'll be like really, really insulted that she couldn't say Kaddish, and then it'll lead to bad things. So you have to have a plan for that.
Ready?
Oh, 1 second, Elon. I mean, it could be the women are potter from it, but a katan is also potter, and a katan says Kaddish for his father. You don't have to be chayiv. That's the thing. You don't have to be chayiv to say Kaddish because a katan says Kaddish. So therefore, we see that it theoretically works. Because, like, a woman is no more potter than a katan, right? A katan's potter from all mitzvos. So, that's not a problem. Yes, Yoni.
How do we avoid the problem of that she's calling out a Dovrish of Kedusha and not the same Rishus as the minion?
Ah, so Rav Schechter famously says that he thinks all this only works if you don't have a real mechitza. And there he says, Rav Moshe only allowed it if she went into the men's section. Because otherwise, if she's in the women's section, she is in a different room, and that room doesn't have a minion, and you're not allowed to say Kaddish without a minion. You're not allowed to say Kaddish if you just are near a room with a minion. You have to be in the room with a minion. That itself is somewhat controversial. In Corona, all the poskim dealt with. If there's a minion in the street and one guy's on his merpeset, can he say Kaddish, right? Meaning not so pashut. Not so pashut. I know of at least one case where a big Talmud Chacham, minion I was at, a big Talmud Chacham matered someone to say Kaddish, even though he was not in the same reshus as the minion, and even though he, I don't know what really happened because I wasn't there, but at the very least, the person understood that a big posek matered to say Kaddish, even though he wasn't with the minion, couldn't even see the minion, he could only hear the minion. So I'm saying it's not so pashut that you can't say Kaddish if you're not in the same reshus as the minion. And there's a big discussion in Poskim. It could be that the Ezra's Nasha really does count as the same Rishus as the men's section. That has to do with all the coronaviruses all around the famous Shut Rashba, who says, if you have walls, remember those old Tzvari shuls, like boats in the middle, like big wall. Oh, he didn't have boats yet. But big walls around the Shulchan. How can the Chazan say Kaddish? He's not in the place of the many, there are walls around him. One of his answers was they see each other, which is the basis of all the repressive minyanim during Corona. The other answer is, no, even though there are walls around it, it's obviously part of the shul. Even if there are walls around it, we all know it's part of the shul, right? It's just part of the tzorach of the shul, so you can't call it a different rishus. That's a big deal, and is the Ezra's Nashim part of the shul? It could be that the Ezra's Nashim, even if there is a wall, counts as part of the shul, because it's not a different room. It's just that in order to have the davening, you need to have the mechitza between the men and the women, but it's all part of the davening. So the Maisa, I think the minig is to be mekel against Rav Schefter in terms of that, and there's what for the what to be somechan for that minig, even if there's a mechitza.
Where's that
remote? Does it really have a tshuva? The tshuva is, one second, I know what I, give me, yeah. The tshuva is, the remote is in, one second, definitely here. Igris is it this one? Maybe it's this one. Or Chaim Chelak Hesim and Yudbeis. Check it out. If not, then I'll look for it. Or Chaim Hesim and Yudbeis. Okay, so that's a big issue, and but we have a clear Masorah on this. Yoni.
Rav Schechter would tell women to join the men's section. What does Rav Schechter say?
I don't know what he says. I only know what he. I heard him object to once. You know, he made it sound like he was just telling them to do a revulsion, go into the men's section. But he didn't actually say that, so I can't quote him. I don't know what he would say, Lamaisa. Could be he would say, no. I don't know. We could ask him. Baruch Hashem, he's pretty available. So being better, we'll ask him. Okay. Continuing in the Ramah, says the Ramah, just finishing up, these are the main halachas of Kaddish. In any case, so just saying for the other relatives that there are some people in the minute that the relatives who keep shloshim, which is everyone but kids, say Kaddish for 30 days and the kids say Kaddish for 11 months. Someone has that minute, fine, they can do whatever. The Rama says do whatever your minute is, but the mainstream minute is that only the kids say Kaddish. Well, all the relatives don't have to say Kaddish. If the kids say Kaddish, that's good enough. But Avelim are not allowed to be the Chazan in Shabbos and Yontif, because in Shabbos and Yontif are days of Simcha, or something like Simcha. Therefore, it's not covered Shabbos and Yontif for an Avel to be the Chazan. And that's our minhag, that the Avel can never be a Chazan on Shabbos and Yontif. Okay, there's a big, big, big machlokas in all the Achronim. What about in between kinds of days? One thing for sure, the Shach says here in Sivkat and Yodalid, also Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, the Avil can't be the Chazan. But if no one else knows how to do it properly, then he can. Halacha l'maaseh in small towns where no one knows how to daven properly for Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. I was at such a small town once when I was in college. We're in a small town. The guy who always davened, maybe Kol Nidre was an Avil, and no one else knew Kol Nidre. They could say the word, they didn't know the tune. So in that case, then you let the Avil daven because it's more important to have the davening proper than to have it done not by an Avel. But l'chachila, you should just find someone else to learn the tunes and not have an Avel daven on Shabbos Yontif for Shana Yom Kippur. How machmer to be about this? There are different minhagim. Agav, when it comes to Shabbos, we mentioned earlier the machlokas Shach and Taz here. Does an Avel say Kaddish on Shabbos before the burial? Where the Taz says yes, and the Shach says, there's no Gehenna until burial, so no. The Taz says, no, but it's always good to have Zechuyos. And we said, our minhag is like the Taz, that the Avel would say Kaddish on Shabbos even before burial. In any case, getting back to the question of all the different days, there's many, everyone should follow their local minhag in terms of what to do on every particular day. I mean, on Chol HaMoed, on Rosh Chodesh, on Chanukah, etc. I know the minhag of Arbeis Medrash, a very machmer minhag, must be the minhag of Prushim in Yerushalayim, I guess, that any day you don't say Lam Natzeach, Tachlin is it, but any day you don't say Lam Natzeach, which is only like days that are really special, an Avol can't daven for the Amud. That's the minhag of the Rosh Beis Medrash. So an Avol can't daven for the Amud on Rosh Chodesh, Shachos Mincha Maariv, and Chanukah, Shachos Mincha Maariv, etc. The mainstream minhag in most shuls is that an Avol can daven for the Amud on Rosh Chodesh and on Chanukah, just someone else should be the challah for Kaddish, for Hallel. That's the mainstream minhag, is that they let the Avol daven even on Chanukah and Rosh Chodesh, just have someone else take over for Hallel. On Chol HaMoed, which is obviously a bit of a higher madriga than just Chanukah or Rosh Chodesh, there are different minhagim about Chol HaMoed. Agav, also, the Avel has to have a substitute for Hallel, and likewise for Shechiyonim on Hanukkah candles, the Avel can't say in Shul. He can't say Shechiyonim for one in Shul. So, the Chazan lights Hanukkah candles, he has to someone else light the first night and say Shechiyonim. But on Chol HaMoed, there are different minhagim. The more prayerful minhagim is the Avel shouldn't daven Chol HaMoed, because Chol HaMoed is really a regel. But every local minhag is different, and Shabbos and Yontif, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, are chok lo yavor. Unless there's no one else qualified, the avel is not allowed to daven for the amud, because you can't have an avel that takes away from kavod and simcha of Shabbos and Yontif. On all the other days, there are different local minhagim. Some people are machmer, some people are mekel. Most places I've seen are machmer and Chol HaMoed, and mekel on Chanukah and Rosh Chodesh. But every place has their own minhag. No, they don't win that Musaf on Rosh Chodesh. Good point. No, just Shachris, not Musaf. Musaf was already different Madriga, then pointing that out. Continuing. He says Davin is better than Kaddish. So Nitkan El Lektanim, because the Kaddish Yasum, he says, why do you have Kaddish Yasum for the Ktanim, who couldn't be the Chazan? They could at least say Kaddish Yasum. And we should call it Felix Palam and Sechval. You ever see that villain take over at Ashrei? This is the mocker. He says someone who doesn't know how to daven the whole shachar should at least take over at Lam Natzecho Volatzion, which is what we call Ashrei Lam Natzecho Volatzion. Benagos Sheinu Mekadosh Tefila Rak Yud Al Chadashim Deshi Yasi Yavim Beyim Rishon Kimesh But Rasha Yud Beis Chodesh Vayu Avelu. Okay, the minhag is to only say 11 months. There are different minhagim, but the standard minhag is to say 11 months because the minhag the din Rishon is 12 months, and you don't want to say your parent was a Rasha. On the other hand, you want to be careful in case. So the compromise is 11 months symbolically, like they're not a real Rosh, because it's not 12 months. So our minhag is 11 months. The Achronim right here, in Pesach Tshuva Tes, quoted in Chumash Yerushalayim, if you know your father or mother was a big Rosh, you should say for 12 months. Because, like, you know they're a big Rosh, like, there's nothing to hide. Okay, I haven't seen people practice that. You know, most people's father and mother are not such a big Rosh that their kid knows that they're a Rosh. We do 11 months. We have Avelim Kanu Baruch Harka Avelim Achir Mashlim Yishon Kedishim Atfilos for 30 Yom Kippur Alfishal Shamu. Okay, it's a little unclear what the Kiddush is. If there are Avelim here and then other Avelim came to town, like they came and they missed the funeral and they didn't hear, but they're still in the middle of Shiva or they're still in the middle of Shloshim, they still have the same right to the middle of Shiva and Shloshim even though they missed the funeral. Okay, doesn't seem to be such a big Kiddush, that seems to be saying. Yesh Amar Demor Shneir Gvayad Akum Banav Amar Lav Kaddish. Some people say if a mummer, someone who converted to another religion, was killed by the goyim, he gets kapara, because when he's killed, shelo kedin, that gives him kapara, because it's such a big onesh to be killed unjustifiably. And therefore, you could say kaddish for him. What does this imply? That a mummer who was not killed by goyim, who didn't get kapara, you don't say kaddish for. Okay, what exactly is a mummer? So we assume nowadays, even if someone's not from, etc., then we say they're Tinuk Shanishva, and it was very difficult in the modern world, and we still say Kaddish for them. Adram, they need Kaddish more than Rav Shechter's father. Because as Rav Schechter said, when he explained why you shouldn't do a Chol Hashem on the plane, he says, also, I know my father. He is a very good Jew. He's, I'm not worried about Gehenim. I know Rav Schechter's father also. I mean, knew Rav Schechter's father also. He's telling the truth. But Lamaisa, we assume now these people aren't from or off the Derech, etc. We say Kaddish for them. They need it very much, and they're not like this mummer who, you know, we said earlier how someone converts to another religion is worse off, etc. So the nice, if someone didn't manage to convert to another religion, they just went off the derech and were assimilated, reform, unobservant, etc., we say Kaddish for them. Even if they weren't killed, even if they died of a ripe, you know, of old age. Okay, the last thing I want to discuss is, we won't go through all the Nosei Kelim here, is the question of what if the father says, don't say Kaddish for me. Sometimes the father says, I don't want to be matriach to say Kaddish for me. Don't say Kaddish for me. To the Shot of the Chelkis Yaakov, Yoredeus and Reish Lamed Aleph, 231, who says, okay, the father says, I know you're busy at work. Don't say Kaddish for me. And he says that you're chayv say Kaddish for him anyway. Because he says this is a minhag, which became like a din. Your father can be mochel the din. This is not his personal kapara. It is also personal kapara. This is such a din that you can't be mochel it. Like, at some point, something starts to be on lachaviru. You're trying to save your father's neshama from Gehenna. But it becomes a din. And therefore, he says, you can't be mochel kaddish. Not to mention the fact, he says, that probably the father changed his mind when he realized, like, he was mamish, you know, dying, and he was going to Gehenna, etc. He'd want you to say kaddish. So halacha l'maisa, we assume even if the father's mochel, you have to say kaddish. There's a big discussion. What if more than mochel? What if the father says, I refuse for you to say Kaddish for me. I don't believe in Kaddish. Then that's a little trickier because maybe someone can never get kapara for something against their will. The Chelek Yaakov's case is the guy believed in Kaddish. He just didn't want his son to have to go to Minyan 3 times a day. He says, tough luck. You have to go to Minyan 3 times a day. What if the father mamash doesn't believe in Kaddish? The father says, you know what? I don't believe in God. I don't believe in Kaddish. I don't believe in this. Don't say your stupid things for me because there's no such thing as hell anyway. Right? If you'll excuse my language. So what about in that case? So that case, the Chelkas Yaakov doesn't deal with explicitly. What? No, because he specifically refused Kaddish. If I tell you don't bring a carb on my behalf, then I can't get Kapara. That's the problem. You can refuse Kapara specifically. He's saying, didn't the Mormon implicitly refuse Kapara? Implicitly, but not explicitly. Halacha l'maisa, nowadays, the mainstream minigas, we assume that no, when someone's dying and, you know, they're leaving this world and going to the next world and they realize they were mistaken about a lot of things, then they change their mind and they really do want you to say Kaddish for them. L'maisa, our minigas, that even if father doesn't want you to say Kaddish, you still say Kaddish for him. That's the minhag nowadays of the poskim. Okay, Simon Shtin Ayin Ches. Avel Aser, this is Suda Savra. There's one fundamental Hakira. Who knows what the one fundamental Hakira of the Rishonim, the Achronim in this Simon is? Okay, Suda Savra. What does Suda Savra mean? Someone tell me.
The first Suda,
you should know it's Machlokes Rishonim. First Suda or first day? What if there's more than one Suda in a day? Tosos and the Gra right here says he's against all the other Poskim, says the whole day. We Paskin know what you Paskin with first Suda. But that's not a Hakira. What happened to the first Suda? What? No, we don't have the minag. What happened to the first Suda? What kind of food does he have to eat? I mean,
bagels.
What?
Round food, eggs,
okay, that's all nice minag, not the bagels. What? Not his own, right? He has to eat someone else's food. Okay, if he has to eat someone else's food, then what does someone else have to do? Give him food. Okay. So here is the Chakira. Look at the beginning of the Chaber. Avol Osir Lechom Mishlo B'Suri Shoni. He can't eat his own first meal. Avol Shnia Mutter. But a few of them show. But even the first day, the second meal is okay. I said Tosos is against that. The Gra is against that. But no one agrees with them. We say it's only one meal. Question is this: is it an Isser to eat his own food? And of course, it's an Isser to eat his own food. And therefore, as a side effect of that, what would have to happen? He would have to eat. So that's his food. Why? Who can have? Maybe it's a how sad he is. He doesn't even feed himself. Right? Right. When someone's really, really depressed, they won't feed themselves. Right? They won't make themselves food. So is it fundamentally an Isser? Out of the Isser flows the idea that we should feed him, or no? Maybe it's fundamentally a chiyuv to eat someone else's food. It's fundamentally, you can even go as far as say a chiyuv on the neighbors to feed him. And it's a nafgamina of the chiyuv on the neighbors to feed him, therefore he's not allowed to eat his own food because they're supposed to feed him. So there's the chakira. The chakira is, let's mention the nafgaminas in a moment. Who has a camera? You're a nothing. All I said is who has a camera. Right, so is it fundamentally an Isser, like there are many Isserim of the famous, right? For example, it's Usser to do Rechitza, or Sicha, or Nilas Asandu, or Tashma Shamita. Then there are Chiyuv of the famous. Is it a Chiyuv to eat other, to have other people feed him? And therefore, Mele, he can't eat his own food because other people are supposed to feed him. Or is it fundamentally an Isser? So, there are many, many nafkaminas of this Chakira. So Havra'a is a chiyuv of Havra'a or an Isser Lechol Mishalo. So let's look at the Shulchan Aruch. What does Shulchan Aruch's lashon sound like? Avil Isser Lechol Mishalo. This is from the Rush. Besuda Rishona Avol B'Shniya Mutar Afilu Yom Rishon. It's a mitzvah on the relatives to give him food, so that he won't violate the Isser of eating his own food. Okay, Reuven can give Shimon Sudas Avraham, when Shimon's an Avel, and Shimon gives Reuven a Sudas Avraham, when Reuven's an Avel, as long as they don't make it a condition. If it's a condition, then they're eating their own food that they bought by trading. Right? If I order food and I pay for it with my credit card, that counts as my food. Right? But if they just give each other a gift without a financial stipulation, then that counts as a matana, counts as a havra. From the lush of the Shulchan Aruch, quoting the Rush, does it sound more like it's an Isser or it's a mitzvah? Isser. The only reason that Shechem and the relatives give him food is so that he won't do the Isser. But it's an Isser. Because it's an Isser to eat his own food, then the nafgamina is that he that someone has to give him food. But this is the lushan of the Shulchan Aruch. Right, this is the Lashon of the Mechaber in Se'if Aleph. We will see that there's another side to it as well, but we'll get to that. Let's take it one step at a time. Okay, the says the Taz of Bekula here, Sefkat Aleph. Says, what if there are no other Jews in town, or no one cares about him, they all hate him, and no one fed him? Does he have to fast? So here, it's not so clear, but he makes a deal from the Zohar. The Shechemer should feed him so that he won't have to do the Isser of eating his own food. Hold on a second. What do you mean do the Isser? No Jew would do an Isser. He should have said they have to feed him so that he won't starve because of the Isser. So he says, this implies that if no one feeds you and you're really hungry, then Chazal will make him let you eat. Okay, hopefully that won't happen to people, but that Taz is brought down by the poskim. Let's go to Beis, and then we'll come back to this Chakira. Isha she'ira avel ein la noshim lehavrosa. Avel noshim ma'avrin. A woman is an avel, men should not do sudas havra'a, because it's not tznias. Avel na, but women can, especially in those days. They used to stay and eat with them. So if a woman does, is an oven, and a man comes and brings her food and stays and eats with her, it's not sneeze, so women should bring her. But a woman, a married woman, can't eat her husband's food. Why? Because that counts as her food, because he owns it to her in the ksuba. So it's her food. Or Evel, lo yochel, sudushonim, shal bala. Vice, like when someone has a worker, and part of the contract is they have to feed them, and they're an avel, they can't eat your food because it's really their food because you owe it to them in the contract. Avomishazon, oni yosimo, lovno, vito, lotznai, peirim, of Evel, yochon lechel, sudushonim, shal bala. Vice. However, if someone feeds a poor person or an orphan or their family without any dini momentus tonight, just out of the goodness of their heart, even if they feed them every day, that counts as sudas havrah, because it's still a gift. It's still not their food. Okay, fair enough. Gimel. Imratza ha'avel shlo lechol v'yom rishon, motor lechol mishalo afilu suda rishona. If the avel doesn't want to eat the whole first day, right, then he's allowed to eat the first meal on the second day from his own food. And likewise, if they didn't bring him food the whole day and now it's nighttime, nighttime counts the next day, halachically, then he's allowed to eat his own food at night, and he's potter from Havra. Okay, the Pesach Shuv Kotz Mil Yehuda, the day is Vayir Vayivoker. If he buried at night, the Chiv Havra extends the whole next day. Right, Vayir Vayivoker. A Jewish day on the calendar. But if he buried it at 5 p.m., then there's no Chiyuv Sudas Havra if he gets home at nighttime. So there's two things. The first point is what the Ramah said, in lo ivru. If they didn't give him any food to eat during the day, once nightfall comes, the Chiyuv of Sudas Havra expires and he's allowed to eat his own food. The other nafkamina is, what's a nafkamina? Is, does he have to eat someone else's food? Do people have to bring him food, or can he fast? Right? Can he just not eat on day one? Right? If the chiyav havra, then no, you'd say he has to eat. But if he just an iser to eat his own food, he can fast until night. Right? And that's how we paskin. We paskin, it's an iser. He doesn't have to do avra. There's no chiyuv to do avra. No chiyuv to do avra. No, if he wants to, he can just skip it. And he says, I'm not in the mood to eat. I'll wait till nighttime. That's fine. There's no chiyuv to do avra. There's just an iser to eat his own food that day. Seems pretty clear it's an iser. This comes across. Dalet is a side point. How you know, again, the sanas do a mischacham. In the old days, they had a minute to fast when a chacham died. He doesn't mean mamish right before Shabbos. Someone who's buried Friday afternoon close to Shabbos. There's a Yesh Omer, that's a Mordechai, who says you do have Rod Erev Shabbos. The lean Erev makes Yosef thinks they came and say, that's very explicit. It's not an obligation. You just have to not eat. You don't have to do Avra. It's better not to do Avra because it's called Shabbos. You're not supposed to eat a meal right before Shabbos, because you'll lose your appetite for Shabbos. That's another nafkamina. What about Nikbar Samach l'Shabbos? Here's the Mordechai. Says, Yesh l'Havruso. He says, and it's mutter to eat a meal right before Shabbos. It's only better not to, but it's mutter too. And here's the Mechaber. And the Beis Yosef says, Ein l'Havruso. Ki ein ochova. Meaning, I'm not really doing an analysis here. It says explicitly along this. So it's not a chobah to do avra, it's just an iser to eat his own food that day. Then if Shabbos is in 2 hours, we should just tell him, don't eat your own food this day. Fast for 2 hours till Shabbos, because you don't want to ruin your appetite for Shabbos meal. Okay, we clearly hold like that side of the, Chakira. I just want to point out there could be another nafkamina, which is the Shach. Says the Shach, Sifkatan Aleph. There's no mitzvah to feed him a second meal because he's letting his own food. Meaning, why would you bring the oval a meal for a second? Why would you bring the oval food for the second meal? After all, he's allowed his own food then. Right? Now, what's our minhag? Is our minhag to only do avra the first meal? What's our minhag?
People bring food overall
Shiva. People bring food the whole Shiva, right? They always make a Google Doc or something, a food trainer. So I don't know what they call these things. Is it a food trainer? So has a train? What is it? Is it some sort of train, or am I making it up?
Food train.
Yeah. Anyway, whatever. We had this. Everyone does it. We had this in Gross once, a couple years back. Someone was doing Shiva, unfortunately. And so just like for the Simchas, they made the Google Doc and everyone brought their meal. Everyone brings their meal the whole 7 days. That's against the Shach. Against the Shach, it's always wondering to be nice to people. But the Shach says there's no mitzvah, the only mitzvah, the first meal, because it all flows from the Isser. However, if you look in the Beis Yosef quotes from Rabbeinu Yerucham, Now, Rabbi Yerucham was quoting the Rush, which is a bit of a steer in Lundus, but okay, it's not found in our Rush. So I'm going to assume he was quoting the Rush in his own way. He says, how about for all 7 days after Suda Rishona? So if you say, then says the Shach, Ein Mitzvah Lehavruso. There's no Mitzvah to Avraham because it's only the only reason it's a mitzvah to do Avraah is because he's stuck with this Isser for one meal. Once there's the word Isser, why would you do Avraah? However, Rabbeinu Yerucham says very differently. It says Rabbeinu Yerucham in the Beis Yosef. No, there is. It's not a chi of gummer. There's also a mitzvah for all Shiva. Why? Because really, it's not about him being usher to eat. It's about us taking care of him. We have to show that we're taking care of him. Why do we have to show we're taking care of him? Says Rabbeinu Yerucham, quoting the Beis Yosef. I think it's important just to explain to our modern day minhag. Right? Says Rabbeinu Yerucham in the Beis Yosef. Siman Shina and Zion towards the end. He says, Shina and Chet at the end, sorry, of course. He says, why? He although so depressed that his mace, he doesn't want to eat. He's only Mosu. He'd rather die. He has a death wish. He doesn't want to eat. Al-Kain. See, Bo Lechol Mishalachim. And therefore, the Torah commanded him to eat of other people's. But Pokhis, he shouldn't give him less than one meal. One meal is the minimum. The time the Mistabir, who Al-Kain, if you remember, Shona, they must give Fal, the Yom Rishon, the Yom Marikri. Therefore, we're very macro. He will govern the first meal. Okay, no, Google Shiva Yamim, then he is also in the last block, but he's by yourself, plus Shiva's game. And the minute is all 7 days. Why? He gives it there. He says, because after all, they can't work, and the poor people, where are they going to get food all 7 days if they can't work? Okay, nowadays, everyone can afford food, but they have no one to prepare for them, and maybe they don't have money, for food, and therefore we give him for the Ashirim. So, says Rabbeinu Yerucham, it's also mitzvah for all 7 days. He just says, Suda Rishona is a minimum. And even though the Iker be impossible like that, we says a mitzvah, lahagros, etc. He just says an Isser. This is really the Iker Hadin. But we're also machmir for this Rabbeinu Yerucham. Our minhag now, there's also machmir Rabbeinu Yerucham. Maybe it's also a mitzvah, lahavroso, right? Maybe we're machmir for the tzad that it's a mitzvah. You could say two ways. I was being vague, but just confusing. It could be a mitzvah for him to eat other people's food, or a mitzvah for other people to give him food. It says Rabbeinu Yerucham, it's a mitzvah for other people to give him food. It's a mitzvah for, so we're also machmir Rabbeinu Yerucham. We try to give him all 7 days food just because he's not capable of taking care of himself, even though the Iker is the first day.
Can you explain again why that last one did not?
By the way,
shouldn't just be confined to that.
Because I'm saying if there's an Isser, then we know the Isser is only the first meal. So there's no Inyan to give him food, and there's no Isser. But if it's Midin Chesed and taking care of him, then even though you have to hear him the first meal, it's good to take care of him extra. If it's a side effect of an Isser, then you can't extend it past the Isser. If it's a Chesed, then there's all different madrigals of Chesed. Okay. Anyway, Kitzer, so that's very important to Sudas Havra.
Was it Rabbeinu Yerucham find out Shabbos?
Yeah, I think so. We do it on Shabbos, don't we?
Right, but I'm saying because there's no Isser there for sure.
No, but he's not worried about the Israel. Right. He doesn't take care of it. He says, keep in mind. And even if you say, but on Shabbos, then you see he's got distracted because everybody else can't take care of himself. That's an help. You have to prepare before Shabbos. Right? Mishnah lo tarif erev Shabbos, lo yochol b'Shabbos. Okay, continuing. And stiff up. So anyway, our minhag suddas havra. We all know the first meal, we're super duper makbid that the oval doesn't use other food. Someone else brings food to the house, or orders food to the house, etc. And the other meals, we also try to be machmer. Like this, Rabbeinu Yerucham as well, if we can, if possible. Continuing the Mechaber, Ein Mavron al Chatan l'Kinu v'Shloshim Yom Shleim v'Kim Leiv Yishkol l'Chadashim. If a baby dies lo aleinu, then we don't do Avra unless he's 30 days old or we're sure he's full term, like we saw earlier by Velos. Zion, what are you allowed to household upkeep? Marbitim Mechaber Beis Avel. You sweep the floor. Wash and sweep the floor is our equivalent nowadays. It's washing and sweeping. It wasn't washing our beats. It was putting little sprinkles of water to keep the dust down because they had dirt floors. But you can wash and sweep the floor. So you wash the dishes. But what don't you do? Where you don't bring sweet smelling spices. Now they don't usually do it anyway, so it's not enough for me. You never do that in our house. However, if where there's a dead body, you do bring the samim to mask the terrible odor, then you don't make a bracha, because you don't make a bracha when those samim are only to mask a bad odor and not for an independent good odor. You can't talk Torah in the base avel. If you're sitting in a shiva kol and you're far away from the avel, you're three rows behind, you can't talk Torah with your neighbor. Rather, you have to sit silently. Sit silently means you also shouldn't talk politics or stock market with your neighbor, right? In a base avel, if you're not talking to the avel, then you should sit silently. Ches, kevin shnei par meis, mutter lechol basar l'shus yayin. Right, the iser basar yayin is only for aninos, and avel is mutter basar yayin. As a matter of fact, in the old days, the avel drank 10 cups of wine, but then they were mevatel it, because they would get drunk. Machlokes is showing them they were mevatel, only the additional cups or all the cups. We hold they were mevatel all the cups. So therefore, yeah, we say, yayin ma'apa so chasudik, the l'shus achilosh of me'av, lo lervos. He could drink a little wine in the Suda in order to help the digestion of the food, but he can't drink to get drunk. Whatever the minig is. In our countries, I don't think there's a clear minig what food you bring for Avra. I don't think bagels counts as a real minig. But whatever the minig is. But everyone has the minig first to use eggs or lentils, which are an Indian of Avelos, and then they eat everything. Okay, why eggs or lentils? Because they do not have a mouth, and an oval doesn't have a mouth. He's not shol the shalom. What if it doesn't have a mouth? Like wheat has a mouth. It has a little crack that's like a mouth. Lentils don't have a mouth. Most kidneys, most grains, have a mouth, like a crack, like in wheat. Lentils don't, and eggs obviously don't have an opening, no cracks anywhere. Okay, they're also round, because death is a circle. It goes around the world. It's not so clear if Beitzim counts as round or not. Our minigs to assume. The Shach says, oh, Beitzim aren't really round. They're more oval, but at least they don't have a path. Some people say Beitzim are round. In any case, there's a funny Rabbi Akiva Eger says the oval shouldn't crack his own egg. Someone else should crack the egg for him, because then he seems like gluttonous to crack his own egg. I don't fully understand why it's gluttonous for him to crack his own egg. I guess what he's saying, since egg's the first thing he eats, he should be a little reluctant to eat. Back to the Yisrael Mishalot, he should be a little reluctant to eat. How does he show he's a little reluctant to eat? After all, his father just died. He shouldn't rush to eat. How does he show he doesn't rush to eat? He waits, let someone else crack the egg for him. Okay, that's our minhag also, that someone else cracks the egg for him. People know this minhag. People have heard this minhag. So many people shouldn't eat. They have to split up into two places, because then it becomes a party at the Shach explains, Sudas Bereis. So how many people can go to the Sudas Havra? Enough that they fit around one table in one room. Otherwise, it's a party. And Yud Aleph Hechashorach Limel Shivach HaRegel V'chim Shamashu V'Shabbat Sarach L'Havros Havra V'Shonish Mi Avelos. The big question is, what if the first day of Avelos is a day when you can't do Havra because it's Shabbos? Or the first day is a day when... not the first day of Avelos, the day they would start Avelos, the day you can't do Avra. There are two different cases. On Shabbos, they start the first day of Avelos, but they can't do Avra. If they hear on Yontif, they don't start counting Avelos yet until after Yontif. But it's not the original day. So they have to do the first Havra they can. According to Sfardim, you do the first opportunity of Havra. But the minhag Ashkenaz is that if it's not the original day, there's no Chiyuv Havra. Meaning if he hears on Shabbos, he hears on Yontif, he hears on Yontif Sheni, meaning whether it's he hears on a Yontif, which doesn't count towards Avelos, or he hears on Yontif Sheni, which does count towards Avelos, as we'll see. Either way, meaning Ashkenaz is, if it was Shabbos or Yontif, then the Havra just expires. The Shach is the Stira. He says, on Simin Shinsan Mitzadi Gimel, we say that there's Havra on Shabbos. And the Be'er Heitev answers, the theory says, no, that meant places where they bring food all 7 days, you're allowed to do it on Shabbos. But the first meal, Sudas Havra, it does not apply on Shabbos. So if someone brings food all the time, they can bring on Shabbos. But the first meal, Sudas Havra, we don't do on Shabbos. That's his answer. The Gesher Chaim likes that answer. As well. Yud Beis, Ein Mavno Shmur Rechoka. Shmur Rechoka means you're here after 30 days. There's no Havra. Who breaks the bread? Who makes the amotzi kilo at the suda? The most important Menachem, not the Avel. But on Shabbos, you do it the normal way, which is the Avil's house. The Avil does, because he's the Baal Bayis. So on a weekday, who makes the Hamotzi? Usually everyone makes their own Hamotzi nowadays, because everyone has their own. So it doesn't really apply. But if you'd have one big loaf of bread, the oldest, most Chashem Menachem, but on Shabbos, it would be the Avil. Just one thing from the Gesher Chaim. What if it's a hot day at the cemetery, and the Avil's thirsty? So he can't drink from a water bottle, because Sudas Havra says the Gesher Chaim, no, the Iker of Sudas Havra is, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says he can't eat or drink his own food. Okay, you don't want people to dehydrate. The Gesher Chaim says, no, the Iker is eating, but drinking is okay. Certainly drinking water is okay. So therefore, we should be very careful not to let the Ovel dehydrate. And the Gesher Chaim says, totally motivated to drink his own food after the burial. He just can't eat his own food. And it's always good, if you are a rabbi, you have to be makbid, the Ovel doesn't dehydrate, because like Rabbi Yerucham says, he's not going to worry about himself. So you have to worry about him. Okay, we'll have to pick up Amir Tzashem on Tuesday. Okay, did this experiment of this room work for everyone? Okay, so I think that I think it will stay in this room for the rest of this month. It's easier for the people far away. Yoni's giving me a thumbs up. Charles Benavitz is giving me a thumbs up under peer pressure from Yoni. Benjamin Kamenetsky is giving me a thumbs up and turning on his camera under peer pressure from Yisrael and Yoni. Good to see your face, Benjamin. You're so many thousands of miles away, Benjamin. It's good to see your face. And I got a smile. All right, have a great day, everybody.
Thank you.
You'll get the last word.
Oh, yeah. Then I'll meet you by your.
Mm-hmm.